Father, I just thank you for your word. I ask you, Father God, as we get into your word this morning, Lord, that you would, Father God, let your people, Father, myself included, let us just step into that stream that I was talking about this morning, Father, that stream, that water, Father God, the waters of life, Lord God. Let us step into that stream this morning, Father, and let us experience, Father God, what you are saying to our hearts this morning, Father. I thank you for it, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Genesis 15, verses 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." That's good, isn't it? I say, God, all right, man. Lord, tell me that. And you know what? If he's saying it to Abraham, he's also saying it to you. You know why? Because you are the seed of Abraham. Because you believe God, it's that same faith that Abraham had that's in you, causing you to believe God, and you are. And so if he said it to Abraham, he said it to you. And he's saying that you are, that he is your shield and your exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one is born in my house. One born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, This shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be thy heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, tell the stars if you be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." I want you to just remember, just take a look at what Abraham is doing. He was told, he says, "Hey, you know what? I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward." And what Abraham told God was, "What are you going to give me?" Do we do that with God? "Okay, God, what are you going to give me? That's cool. What have you got for me, Lord?" Can I tell you that God has already prepared things for you? And you know what? You can ask him. Do you remember when Jesus was walking around and the disciples, right after he got baptized by John the Baptist, he was walking and John the Baptist said, "There goes the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And he says, "I must decrease, he must increase." So the men he was talking to, they started following Jesus. And Jesus realized he had a couple of stalkers. So he turned around, he looks at him, he goes, one of the questions that he asked him, which I love what this question is, "What do you want?" Hallelujah. What do you want? What do you want? Do you ever say that to your kids? What do you want? Now what? What do you want? Not like that, huh? What do you want? I love that question. Jesus was asking his disciples, "What do you want? What is it that you want?" And he said, "Hey, Lord, we just want to follow you. We want to find out where you're at. Come on, follow me." Remember when blind Bartimaeus was standing by the side of the road? And the Lord asked him. Well, he started yelling. I mean, people were saying, "Hey, who's passing by?" He says, "Jesus is passing by." And he started yelling. He started at the top of his voice, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." And they're telling him, shut up, man, be quiet. Blind guy. Only smart one in the bunch, wouldn't you say? Yeah. "Jesus, I need you." Praise God. Jesus stops and says, "Hey, bring him here." And he brings him over. And you know, they had to kind of lead him by the hand. Is that right? And Jesus asks him the same question. "What do you want? What do you want?" "Jesus, are you blind?" No. Did Bartimaeus, was it hard for Jesus to tell what Jesus wanted? Was it hard for Jesus to tell what Bartimaeus wanted? It wasn't. But the question was put out there. What do you want? What do you want? Hallelujah. And I like that. That God would be saying that to you. What do you want? He would be speaking to you this morning. What do you want? Do you know that he's already provided it for you? Everything that you need, the Word of God says in 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 1, sorry, verse 3 says this: God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's already given it to you, but what do you want? What is it that you're wanting? He knows what your need is. But what I like about Jesus, he wants to hear out of your own mouth what your need is. Well, God, just bless me. What is that? Bless you. What is that? God's saying, what do you want? Because when you be specific with me, I'll be very specific with you. And you'll see, boom, you'll see it come out. You'll see what you've asked for. And you'll understand, this happened because I asked Jesus and no one else. So Abraham asked him right away. He said, what will you give me? Seeing that I've got no children, so the only heir I've got is the one that the oldest one servant that's in my house, and he's going to get everything. If I die today, my servant's going to get everything. And Jesus said, God said, no. He says, what comes from your own bowels will be your heir. So this is a promise that God had given him. God said, you're going to have a son. Is that okay? Is that cool? How many of you know the Word of God tells us faith comes by hearing and what?
Hearing.
And by what?
And hearing
the Word of God. Sometimes it takes a little while for us to understand what He's actually saying to us. But faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God, which is cool. I love it because the more you hear it, the more it gets to you. Is that right? The more you hear it, the more it comes in. Do you know that repetition is very important to us? That we repeat. When God says, when you find a promise in there, it's important. Repeat it. Just keep repeating. God, this is what your word says. Hallelujah. So he promises Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. And then verse 5, he says, he brought him forth and brought him abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars. And what I like about God is what he's doing here with Abraham. He's saying, come on outside, man. Get outside. Come here, man. Come here, Abraham. Drags him outside. He says, look up there. That's what God's saying. You know what I mean? I mean, God got him to look into the sky. And he said, see all those stars? As the stars, and without number, count the stars, Abraham. Can you count them? Man, there's too many to count, Lord. Are you crazy? He said, yeah, well, count them. But that's going to be your descendants. Ooh, man. And you know what God likes to do? God likes to help you by giving you vision, by speaking a vision into you. Is that okay? God wants to give you a vision about what it is that he's trying to give you that you've already asked him for. And he says, I'm going to give you a vision of that thing. Hallelujah. Takes Abraham out there. Hallelujah. Now let's move to Genesis 17, 1 through 5. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9. How old was he? 99. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply you exceedingly. Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Hallelujah. Verse 6 says, I will make you exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Second time, but years later, wouldn't you say? Now he's 99 years old, and God's telling him, hey, I'm going to make you a father of nations. Do you realize that, Abraham? Circumstances weren't looking good, would you say? How old is he? 99 years old. 99 years old. Anybody 99 in the house? Hallelujah. 99. I don't see anybody. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's go to chapter 17. Let's go 15 through 22. And then it says this. And God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, thou shalt call her name Sarah. I'm sorry. Thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give you a son of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And God said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time next year. Here it is again. God is telling him again, hey, you're going to be a, you know, your father of many nations. But God does something a little bit different. First, he shows him a vision. Is that right? The second time, he goes in, and what does he do? God renames them. Is that cool? He renames them. He gives them the name after what's going to happen to them. Is that right? Abraham means a father of many nations. Sarah is a princess of nations. Man. Let's go to chapter 18, verses 1 through 15. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat at the tent door of the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, 3 men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I found favor in your sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from my servant. How many men were there? 3 men. Is that right?
Yes.
Huh. Who was that? I don't know. I think it was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen? Hallelujah. That's what I'm. These 3 guys were out there, right? He said, let's take a little water, I pray thee, and be fetched, and I will wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort your hearts. After that, you shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened to the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. How many ladies like people like your husband just say, man, hey, we're having folks over for dinner right now. Let's make some food. What? Abraham ran to the herd, fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it to a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah your wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were very old and well stricken in what? Age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah, what? Laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I want to ask you that again. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? No, hallelujah. And at the time appointed, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but you did laugh. Hallelujah. I like this kind of, I really enjoy this this conversation that the angels are, or that the Lord is having with Abraham. And he said, where's your wife? She's in the tent. He goes, okay, well, at this time, you know, you're going to be visited and Sarah's going to have a son. And Sarah begins to laugh in the tent. Hallelujah. And you know what? I mean, I think God has a sense of humor. Don't you think so? Just take a look around. Look at me. You know, I think God's got a good sense of humor. Hallelujah. And you know what? I'm going to tell you. But at this point, this is the third time when they've been told, and they're going to say, hey, man, you're going to have a son. And time is getting close. How many of you know when God promises something, a time's going to come where it's going to start getting close to you. Is that right? And you're going to sense it. You might sense what God has been saying to you. You might wake up in the middle of the night and God's trying to say, amen, pray. Because I'm giving you something. I'm about to give. How many of you like getting woke up in the middle of the night to pray? Not very many of us. Not very many of us. But you know what? I've told the Lord, you want me to pray? Give me a cramp. Yo, come on. I should have never said that. Because I'll tell you what, in the middle of the night, I'll get a cramp. I said, okay, Lord. So I'll begin to pray. I said, Lord, what are you doing? And when it's done, the cramp goes away. Whenever, whatever that is, the cramp goes away. I go back to sleep. And God has, because God is doing something, amen? And when it's getting close, activity in the spiritual world gets a little bit more active around you. Do you know that? Sometimes when you're praying for your son or your daughter that's lost, they've lost their way, and it, you know, the activity around them begins to get really stirred up, and it looks like nothing's happening. It looks like things are getting worse. But I'm going to tell you something. The promise of God is real. When you're standing on his promises for your sons and your daughters and your grandsons and your granddaughters, when you're standing on his promises, those things that you're seeing, pay no attention to them, because God is doing something. Hallelujah. And sometimes things get stirred up, but you can count on what God has been saying to you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sarah laughed. These guys don't know nothing. Oh, yeah, they do. Is God silly? God, you're silly, God. No, man, you know what? God is serious. When he gives you a promise, he's serious. Hallelujah. And sometimes the silliness, this just can't happen. It's just way out there. Is anything too hard for God? There's nothing too hard for God. God will do it. Hallelujah. Go to 21 verses 1 through 7. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. I like that part. As he had said, he visited Sarah. And the Lord did to Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his what? Old age. At the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son, Isaac being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was what? 100 years old when Isaac, his son, was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me to what? Now she's laughing, huh? Who had the last laugh? I think God had the last laugh. God has made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. Don't you think it's kind of cool? Amen. I do. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah should have given children? For I have borne him a son. In what? In his old age. Woo, come on. 100 years old. Can you imagine when they're 103? 3-year-old boy? It's probably a good thing he had servants. Amen? When my grandkids are over at my house, I'm going to tell you what. My wife usually ends up taking care of Moses, because I get tired trying to chase him around. I mean, nobody knows what I'm talking about. Yeah. Yeah, come on. Hallelujah. How many of you know that age has nothing to do with what God is doing in your life? Do you know that? Is that right? Isn't that? Age has nothing to do with who you are in Christ. Is that right? How old are you, really? Hallelujah. I was born again in 1979. Somebody do the math. I don't know how old that is. I'm not that fast. Hallelujah. What's that? Born again. 37. Thank you. 57. I go, wow. How old am I? 37 years old in the Lord. Amen. Pastor John, how old are you? So that's 33 years old. We're still young. Amen. Praise God. Let me say, age has nothing to do with who you are in Christ. Isn't that cool? Just take a look at Abraham and his wife and say, hey man, can God do things? I mean, for folks that are older? Can that happen? Absolutely. Age has nothing to do with you in the kingdom of God. That's what, man, I love this. Can you put up Numbers 23:19? Let me try to find it. Numbers 23:19. I want you to look at the scripture here just for a minute. God is not a man that he should lie. Is that right? Neither the son of man that he should repent. So what he's told you, he says, I'm not anything like man. What I have told you, I won't lie. And what I've said to you, I cannot back away from it, because what I've said is what I've said. How many know that? It's just the way he is. And then he says, and he has said, and shall he not do it? He has spoken, and shall he not make it good? See, that's just who God is. That's him. I'm not a man that I should lie, neither son of man that I should repent. Have I not said, and I will do it? Well, I'm going to tell you something. What God has told you, what the promises is, what promises you have found, God is serious, just like he was serious with the young lady that was laughing inside the tent. He is serious about what he's telling you. He's serious. Seriously serious. Hallelujah. Folks, we should be in the Word of God looking for promises. We should be digging around in there. When I was going to Bisbee High School and Douglas High School used to fight over this thing called a pick. It was a copper pick that whatever team won the football game that certain year, they would take that pick home and they'd put it up in their showcase. And that was just what they did. This pick. But folks, we should be like a little miner with a pick, going through the Word of God and just, God, I'm going to dig out what you've got in here. I don't want to look at just surface things. You know, yeah, just there's just surface things that God has done for us that are very important to us. Not just surface things, but I want gold, Lord. I want those things that are deep, Lord. Those things that will carry me and take me and build me and strengthen me. How many of you know that God has commanded your strength? Do you know that? Psalm 68:28. Is that right, Manny? Psalm 68:28 says this: God has commanded your strength. The same God that commanded the light, same God that commanded the planets, the same God, hallelujah, that commanded all the heavens and the earth and the seed, trees, that same God has, what the Word of God says in Psalm 68:28, commanded your strength. That's a powerful command. Do you know that he's given that to you? That command is to you. And he's never going to hold it back. He's never going to pull it back. He goes, I'm commanding your strength. I'm commanding your strength. You're going through things. I'm commanding your strength. You're hurting, but I'm commanding your strength. Your body's not acting the way it is, but I'm commanding your strength. Hallelujah. Ooh, man, let me tell you something. God's not messing around. He's serious. He's serious. Hallelujah. He's not a man that he should lie, neither is the son of man that he should repent. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 through 31. Now, I want to give you some scriptures. And if, hopefully, most of you are taking some notes on these things, because these things were at 2 o'clock in the morning. To me, it's worth you guys at least taking some notes for them. You hear what I'm saying? 2 o'clock in the morning, I said, God, come on, God. All of a sudden, when that little river began to flow, all these scriptures began to come up. And I realized, this is what God wants for his people this morning. Hallelujah. Come on. Isaiah 40, verse 28 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Praise God. I'm going to ask you, what's the age group in this scripture? What's the age group? What's the age group for the promise in this scripture? There is no age group in that promise. I don't care how old you are. If you wait on the Lord, you're going to renew your strength. Amen. If you wait on the Lord, you're going to walk and not be weary. You're going to run and not faint. Praise God. It doesn't matter what the age group is. Hallelujah. Some of the younger guys, some of the younger folks in here, so what? Big deal. But to me, my age, hallelujah. When I get out there and I hit those streets, I feel like I can walk for miles and miles and miles. What's that song? I can walk for miles. Is that the way it goes? Anyway, miles and miles. There's something about it, man, because I am waiting on the Lord, and it seems to be renewing my strength. Hallelujah. Get out and start walking your neighborhoods, folks. Get out there and just start doing it. Wait on the Lord. Say, God, what do you want to do in my neighborhood? God, hallelujah. I'll wash cars in my neighborhood. 66 years old. I'll wash somebody's car. Lord, just show me somebody. Everybody's going, what are you talking about? I'm going to tell you, age has nothing to do with you, with the kingdom of God. It doesn't. Nothing to do with it. Let's put up Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15. Check this one out. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to tell you something. You need to quit talking to yourself. I'm just getting old. Does anybody do that? I'm just getting old. Then somebody will say, hey, well, it's not the same. You're getting older now, right? Shut up. Just don't say, shut up, man. Hey, knock it off, man. You're going against the word of the Lord. I'm not old. I'm not old. Is that right? Come on, brother. Look at this one. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Who? The righteous. Is that what it says? Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in what? Come on. What kind of fruit? What do you want? What do you want? Ooh, come on, man. They shall be, I don't know about this, fat and flourishing. Better walk like this. Come on, man. You know, how many know over there, over in those Middle East, I guess? If you're chunky, it's a blessing. Is that right? I know that my little brother, when he was in Africa, when they were buying stuff at a store, they would charge him twice as much. Why? Because he's been fat and flourishing. And he goes, hey, man, I got to get somebody else to buy this stuff for me. Because they're double charging him. But that's okay. But listen, they shall bring forth fruit in their old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is what? Upright. And he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Folks, quit telling yourself you're too old. Quit saying words like that to yourself. Stop that flow of incorrectness in your life. I'm just old. You know you're not. Well, my body tells me I am. Well, tell it to shut up. Amen? Tell it. Sorry. That's not what the Word of God says. Amen? Hallelujah. I want you to, let's look at Psalm 110, verse 3. You know what? Put up verses 1 and 2 and 3. We'll read all three of these. This is a really good one, if we can. Is that going to be too hard? Sorry, man. I'm always taxing Sean back there with the glory. Look at verse 3, it says this, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth." Sean, we'll just go with this one, it's okay. You got it? Okay, the Lord said unto my Lord, "Sit thou at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." So just check out what he's saying. Sit down. Sit at my right hand. Remember we were talking about turbulence and how in the airport in the airplane, when turbulence happens, you'll see the fasten your seatbelt light come on. So when turbulence is happening, he says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." The Lord's talking to Jesus. But that word is also speaking to us. I'm going to make the earth your footstool in Christ, because Christ is in us. So the earth is going to be the footstool of Jesus. So who he's going to use to do that? He's using us. That's us. We create that. Hallelujah. The next verse says, "The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion." Who is that? Jesus. "The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion." And then he says this, check this out. "Rule thou in the midst of your enemies." You see that? What's he saying? He says, "I'm going to send him. And he's going to come into you. And for you, you begin to rule." How many of you know God is looking for people to run this earth like he runs it in heaven? Do you know that? I'm going to say that to you again. I kind of like saying that. So indulge me if I do. God wants people that will run the earth just like he runs it in heaven. Praise God. I like that. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then he says this, verse 3 says, "Thy people," still talking about his people, "shall be willing in the day of your power." How many of you are willing? Come on, man. Hallelujah. "They shall be willing in the day of your power." And then he says, "In the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning." Let me just talk to you about the womb of the morning. God told Jeremiah was speaking to the men of Israel. And he says, God rises early in the morning to speak to you. But you won't listen. You won't listen. God's trying to speak to you. Hallelujah. So I would, just with that, I said, "Lord, from now on, I'm getting up early. I'm going to get up and I'm from the womb of the morning. I am going to listen to what you're saying." That way he says this, "You have the dew of your what?" Of what?
Youth.
You have the dew of your youth. When does the dew show up? The dew shows up in the morning. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Some of you are not going to like this. Get up a little earlier, man. Go after God. See what he's telling you in the morning. "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." God, I want to hear what you have to say to me this morning for this day. Because, folks, that's all we've got. All we got is today. Is that right? That's all we got. So why not get commands or get the instruction that you need early in the morning? Hallelujah. Ooh, come on, man. In the dew of the morning. You know why I'm giving you these scriptures? Because I fight this thing. If I spend too much time in my own bed, I get up and I'm walking. Oh, my back. Sunday mornings, I seem like I can get up and walk right out of the bed. I'm good, man. It must be just because it's Sunday. No, I think it's because I get to bed, because the Lord lets me get to bed 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, so I'm not in the bed that long. So I get up feeling pretty good. My back feels fine. But the fact of the matter is, God says, "Hey, look, early in the morning." So I began to talk to God one day. I was saying to God, I said, "You know what? I'm 60 years old, Lord. Why me? Why me? Isn't that right? It's a big baby. Why me? Why me? Why me, God? There's a bunch of people can do this better than I. Why me? Why me, God?" God, shut up. God is saying, shut up. And he began to talk to me about youth, began to talk to me about being a young man in the Lord, being a strong man in the Lord, that age has nothing to do with it. And I looked in my mirror one morning, I got up, I saw my wrinkles. I said, Lord, that might be what you're saying, but it sure don't look like that. I told, you know what I said to God? I got gravity against me, God. Gravity is against me. How many know that? Is that right? And it was funny, that same morning I jumped in my truck and I was headed to work. And as I was driving down, left the house, I was driving towards the mine, the Lord said something to me. He says, hey. He said, hey, you. No, he didn't say that, but he goes, hey. He goes, do you remember what happened when the axe head fell into the water with Elijah? You remember that? I said, oh, yeah. The prophet went over there, and the axe head, he put a stick in that water, and the axe head actually floated. I go, yeah. Didn't know what he was talking about. Didn't get it. And he says, do you remember? A little later down the road, he says, do you remember that Jesus was walking on the water? Yeah. I said, God, what's the 20 questions about, God? I don't know what's going on. God, what are you talking about? And he says, do you remember that Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water? Oh, yeah. Then I realized God was talking to me about gravity. And he was telling me, he says, do you realize that that is a law under my command? Gravity is one of the laws under his command. I said, yeah, God. I said, I get it. Praising God. Yeah, yeah. Tell that to my face. Yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God, man. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. Know this, that God says if you will believe him, he'll give you the dew of your youth. Is that right? Amen. Just got to believe him. It's just that simple. Your mirror is going to talk to you. Is that right? Your back is going to talk to you maybe. But I rebuke all that either. Anyway, I'm saying that every time that you get up in the morning, I'm going to ask God just that you would just notice it. Man, I look a little younger today. Lord, I'm. Who is that? You laugh, but I'm serious. You laugh, but I'm serious. Age has nothing at all to do with that. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I said, okay, God, leave me alone. I'm good. All right, I got it. Psalm 103. Hallelujah. I'm going to go in my Bible with this. How many of you have your Bibles with you? Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you are working out of your phone? Okay. Psalm 103. First six verses says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and bless and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. These are the benefits that God has given to David to write down for us, a psalm. And he says, benefit number one, he forgiveth all your iniquities. How's that? Is that good? Yeah. Good benefit. Benefit number two, he heals all your what? Come on, I'm going to tell you something. He's not messing around when he's saying these things. Verse 4 says, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse 5 says, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your what? Youth is what? Is what? Is what? It's renewed what? As the eagles. It's renewed. It's renewed. It's renewed. Renewed. How often does it have to be renewed? Anytime. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Do you need healing? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Verse 6 says, the Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He's the one that judges. But I just want to point you to something. Verse 5 says this, who satisfies your mouth with good things. Is that right? You see, it's important that what you see, you begin to speak. What you're thinking that's good, that God has said to you, just speak it with your mouth. He will renew my youth like the eagles. He will cause me to ride upon the high places. Begin to say the things that God is saying to you. Because once you begin to say it, you're going to recognize the need where it says right here, he says he satisfies your mouth with what kind of things? Good things. Good things. Puts them in your mouth so you can speak them to yourself. So your youth can be renewed as the eagles. Is that right? So that your youth is brought forth by the power of the Holy Ghost. Because God is serious in what he's saying to us. Amen? Satisfies your mouth with good things. How many like that? Yeah. But let me just say it this. But it's not all about you. Come on, man. Is that right? It's not all about you. Abraham said, God, what are you going to give me? And sometimes we can be doing that. But you know what? How about if you said, God, give me a word for my brother. Give me a word for my sister, Lord. Hallelujah. You get up in the morning and God gives you a word. Did you know that you can go about all day long just saying, hey, man, let me see. Let me pick one. Romans chapter 8. It's a good place to find one. Let me find a real quick one here. Watch this. Watch this. Romans 8 says this. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And this is what you do. Hey, Brother Anthony, how's it going, man? Do you know that the law of sin and death has made you, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death? Do you know that? He satisfies your mouth with good things. Brother Ricky, do you know that the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death? Do you know that? Do you realize that? Do you understand what he's saying? Do you understand? Hallelujah. Sometimes people get this idea about prophesying. God, I got to hear the word right now from you. I got to hear it. I got to hear it. I got to. But you know what? Maybe he gave it to you in the morning because you don't have to hear it that morning. Prophesy to the people. Prophesy to one another. Prophesy. Speak God's word to each other. Hallelujah. Because that's what's going to happen. That's how you're going to build your people. That's how we're going to do it. The word of God tells us to speak. To speak. Open your mouth and say something. Amen. Hallelujah. Make sure it's good. But open your mouth and speak. Because you're going to build up one another. Hallelujah. God is, you know what? Prophecy. God is calling you to prophesy. Do you know that? Do you know that? Is that right? He's calling you to prophesy. He's calling you to speak things into the lives of those around you. He's calling you to do that. It's something he's desiring. He says, will you not speak to my people? Will you not say something? They're hurting. Will you not say something? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to put up some. Look at what the word prophecy in the Hebrews means. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sean. Naba. Is that cool? Naba. Naba. Everybody say Naba.
Naba.
Not like that. Say Naba.
Naba.
Not like that either. No. I'm kidding you. I don't know how to say it really. Naba. Nabah. I don't know how Jewish is. Nachbah. I don't know. I'm not sure. I just don't know. But know this. But see what it means? Speak by inspiration. Hallelujah. In prediction or what? Simple discourse. We make it too hard on ourselves. We really do, folks. We make it too hard. When you can just speak, you know what, bro? God loves you, man. That's all you got to do. Is that good? That's a start? Brother. Hey, brother. What's your name? Roy, God loves you, brother. That's how easy it is. We make it too hard. You know, you can speak God's word. Whatever he's given you, speak it to 10 people that day. Isn't that cool? It's just the way, it's what God wants you to. It's inspiration. Speak that way. Woo, come on, man. Let's look at it in the Greek. This is the Greek word for coming up. Prophetouro. That sounds even, man, that sounds even good. Yeah. Prophetouro. To foretell events, that's what it means. It also means divine. And then it means something else. What is that? Speak under what? Inspiration and exercise the prophetic office. Which is cool. In the church, we've had that a few times here. But let me tell you something. We make it too hard on ourselves. We think that our words aren't important, where the Word of God tells us, no, your words are very important. What I inspire you in the morning, give it all day long. And you watch what happens to people all around you. You're going to find that God is touching their lives. You know, brother, that word that you said to me the other day? I don't remember. What word? Well, you told me that God would heal me. I just asked him to heal me. Something's happening within me. I believe God is healing me. Doesn't take much. We make it too hard. We think, oh, that's the prophet's office. It's not. Let me just remind you who dwells within you. Let me just remind you of that, right? It is Jesus that dwells in you. And he's trying to get you to say something to those around you that will cause them to be lifted up out of their mess. Do you realize that? It's not that hard. Hallelujah. When we were at men's retreat, and is it okay if I say this, Hank? Is it okay? When we were at men's retreat, you know, because Brother Pat over in the far corner over there, raise your hand, Pat, just for a second, let everybody see who you are. Brother Pat one day was talking to me, says, you know what, God's just been talking to me, and one of the things he'd been saying is just keep it simple. We make it too hard on ourselves, folks, we really do. Speaking to folks is just really just whatever God has inspired you, you just speak it to somebody else and allow God to take it. And Brother Hank was saying, prophesy to me. And we get kind of, well, I don't know what to say. And we had, Rosie and I had dinner with him on Thursday, him and Gloria. By the way, ladies, Gloria still hasn't decided whether, you know, she's still praying about doing the retreat. But Cesar grabbed my wife and said, Mija, that's funny, prophesy to me. And I go, oh, and my wife just gave him some scriptures. That's all it takes. And a lot of times you'll find once you give one, another one will flow in right behind it. Before you know it, you're prophesying to that person. Before you know it, you're hearing things that they've, you know what, God says you're going to meet a young man that's going to have a big ring on his finger or whatever, and you're going to notice that, and that man right there needs Jesus, so when you watch for that, you know, God, we begin to prophesy things. Hallelujah. It's not that hard, folks. Isn't that right? How many say amen? It's not that hard. It really isn't hard. It really is a simple thing. What you're inspired with in the morning. How many are going to get up in the morning now? A little earlier? Nobody? Okay, that's all right. Why am I even talking up here, Lord? I don't know what. What you're inspired with, just speak that into the folks around you. And you watch what happens. Because it's not you, it's God's word. And God's word never returns void. It will do and accomplish those things that God sends it to do. And a lot of times God might be giving you a word that morning so that you can give it to that person you're going to run into that day. Amen.